welcome to the Catholic Truth Podcast, where we teach and preach the truth of the Catholic faith without compromise and without apology. We want to give you high energy and non-boring Catholicism, where anyone at any time can come to know exactly what the Catholic Church teaches and why. We do apologetics, spirituality, other religions, our culture, and more. Most of all, we want to inspire you, inform you, and help you to know, love, and live your Catholic faith with purpose and passion. We are Catholic Truth. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Catholic Truth. If you haven't been here before, we are a nonprofit organization dedicated to proclaiming the truth of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. We want to be a voice of clarity in this age of confusion, but also a bright light in this age of darkness. We want to help people to know, love, and live their Catholic faith. So if you need a retreat speaker, if you want to be inspired, bring us into your parish. Check out our website at thecatholictruth.org and also follow us below on Facebook, Instagram, and all those platforms. Relics. What are relics and why do Catholics have and use and venerate relics? And we're going to show that relics are not only historical, but they're also biblical. Many people say that you have to worship God in spirit and in truth, which is true. But they say, therefore, spirit means you can't worship God with any objects or physical things. But this is actually false. God uses physical means many times to communicate to us spiritual realities. That's exactly what the sacraments are. Through the sacraments, God gives us his divine life and grace. For example, through baptism, the waters of baptism communicate rebirth to us by God's power. God uses bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, in the Eucharist, to give us his graces. And the anointing of the sick, we use oils, sacred oils, as it says in James 5:14, and many other things like that. Even in the Bible in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus did this as well. He sometimes healed people directly, but in other times, like in John 9, he used spit to make clay that he put on a man's eyes, and he healed somebody in that way. Likewise, in Matthew 9, 19, and 20, a woman was healed just by touching the garments of Jesus. So it wasn't just prayer. She actually touched the garments and was healed by touching it. So she used physical means. You know, in a sense, we're human. We need to touch, hear, see, taste, smell, the whole thing. I mean, that's who we are. We're body and soul. We're not just floating spirits around. We need to experience. We need to behold God through physical means as well. And this woman was healed through physical means. Again, this is the sacraments, and this is where relics come in as well. God can heal and use physical objects or even people to heal us or to bring about some miracle in our life. A relic, in the word relic, means remains, and it generally started with martyrs who died and they were venerated. So generally, relics are martyrs or saints, but over time, it also came to be known with things that were associated with them, things that they owned, clothing, items, and things like that. These can all be considered relics. Now, on the surface, people say, oh my gosh, that's superstitious for you to have their bones and you have their bodies and you have the clothes that they used to wear and this sort of thing. But God works and has worked throughout history through many of these things. And as we're going to see, it's also biblical. In 2 Kings 2:13, we see that God worked miracles through the mantle of Elijah. And in 2 Kings 13:20, God worked miracles through the dead bones of the prophet Elisha. A person was brought back to life just by touching the dead bones. Can you imagine that? Somebody who touches the dead bones of a prophet comes back to life? I mean, if anybody heard that, they'd be like, that is so pagan. That's just superstitious garbage. But yet this is in the Bible. Elisha and Elijah were two saints who were so holy and so close to God that God worked extraordinary wonders and miracles through them in their lives on earth, but also after they died. I mean, the prophet Elisha still worked miracles after they died. And if you haven't checked out our video on Blessed Margaret of Costello, check that one out as well. because a girl who came up and touched Margaret after she died was completely and miraculously healed on the spot. And the story is amazing. All through history, Christian history, God has worked through people in this way, alive and dead. One thinks of Saint Bernadette when they went to her gravesite. So many people were being healed just by praying at her gravesite, they decided to dig up the body and discovered that it was incorrupt. Listen to what Acts 19:11 through 12 says. Quote, God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them, unquote. Now, again, many people on the outside, Christians, usually non-Catholics, would say, oh my gosh, this is just superstitious garbage. They're taking aprons and they're taking handkerchiefs, whatever they can find, and they're touching it to Paul's body, and then they're bringing it to people for them to be healed. That is so superstitious. But yet the Bible says that they were healed. They would touch it to Paul's body, and then they would bring it to the people and touch it to their foreheads, and they would be cured. And demons were even cast out in this way because God worked extraordinary miracles through Paul. Notice that the Bible does not say that it worked extraordinary miracles through the handkerchiefs or through the aprons, which is true, but it wasn't those that caused the miracle. It was Paul in his holiness in life, his faithfulness, his obedience, his faith in God. God worked because of Paul's faith in him. And he uses Paul and objects that touch Paul to heal other people. And this is the way God has traditionally worked in the lives of the saints. We've seen so many saints do extraordinary miracles, and even objects that have touched people have done extraordinary miracles. I mean, Peter, in the book of Acts, people were just trying to get into his shadow by standing in his shadow in order to be healed, because that's how God works extraordinarily, through people who follow him extraordinarily. So we don't worship these items. They have nothing to do with worship. We don't worship them or adore them or anything else. They're just mementos of saints, of martyrs, of people who lived extraordinary lives for Christ. And we know that God can work in and through them. It's God's power. It's God's work. It's God's victory. If anything miraculous happens, it's God. It has nothing to do with the items at all, except their connection to the holy people who had faith in God, just as Paul did. The word relics means remains. And it started, as we said, with the martyrs who had died, and their bodies would be venerated, not specifically the bodies themselves, but the lives of the saints, the people who died for Christ, gave up everything for him, surrendered everything to the point of death. Jesus said, if you try to save your life in this world, you will lose it. But if you give up your life, you will find it. So these people, these saints, these martyrs were venerated by the earliest Christians for their extraordinary life and for following Christ. I mean, they took, like, for example, Polycarp, who was a follower of St. John. Just as St. John was a disciple of Jesus and followed him, Polycarp, they say, followed John and was a disciple of John. And when he died, people venerated his body. They said they treated it more precious than jewels and gold or anything else, because this was a man who lived for Christ. This was a true disciple, something worth venerating his life, his faith, his obedience, and his sacrifice out of love for Christ. We're celebrating spiritual, holy things here. We're not worshiping the person itself. We're not worshiping the body. We're not worshiping the clothes that touch the body. We're worshiping Jesus Christ and his work in these people. And these are the things to be venerated. I mean, we venerate silly things all the time. Like my friend and I, when we were kids, we went to a professional wrestling. Remember that WWF back in the day? Now it's WWE. And my friend's wrestler, man, he took his gum and he hit it out into the audience. And my friend ran to get that gum and he picked it up and he put it on his bureau, and it was there for years and years and years. He venerated that gum. He used it as a sign that I got this and I love that wrestler and I got his gum. Other people, for me, I remember I danced with my crush in high school. And as soon as she put her hands around me when we were dancing, and I remember, like, wow, this girl's like, I'm actually dancing with her. Like, this is my dream come true. And I didn't wash that shirt for weeks. I literally venerated that shirt. That was like special to me. It was a memento of that memory, of that dream come true, of that which I didn't want to forget, of that girl I liked. It had nothing to do with the shirt itself. I didn't put the shirt up with candles around it and, you know, incense it and, you know, just start bowing before it and worshiping it. No, of course not. It has nothing to do with the shirt itself. It had to do with the memory of the girl that I liked. And people do this all the time with signed New York Yankees or Boston Red Sox or name your sports team, baseball, paraphernalia, posters, shirts, anything that's signed by a player. They put that in their house and they love that. They venerate that. They remember that. That's special to them. But how much more infinitely special are those people who live for Christ? How much more infinite should we remember those people who give up their lives for Christ, who have extraordinary lives of holiness and don't care for the silly things of this world, but live for the world to come? That's what we're venerating. And we're not worshiping them or their clothes or anything else. We are worshiping Christ. And to sum this up, many of the earliest Christians all believed this down through the centuries. And I want to quote a couple of them right here because I think they sum it up perfectly for us. He says this, quote, "Well, it is true. We Christians refuse to worship or adore, I say, not the relics of the martyrs, but even the sun and the moon, the angels and the archangels to come. For we may not serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever and ever. Still, we honor the relics of the martyrs that we may adore him whose martyrs they are. We honor the servants that their honor may be reflected upon the Lord," unquote. And that's St. Jerome in the 4th century. And there are many people, all going back to the time of Polycarp, who all say that God worked even miracles. St. Augustine says that God has worked miracles through his saints and even through objects that the saints have touched. But we don't worship those things themselves. And I mean, people didn't worship the handkerchiefs with Paul. They worshiped God who did the miracles through Paul and through the handkerchiefs and through the aprons and through the shadow of Peter and many other things. We praise the God of the universe who works in many ways and can't be constrained. He's not, we can't put him in a box and say, oh, God only works this way or God only works this way. He's the God of the universe. He can work whatever way he wants. And relics are about honoring holy men and women of God. They're about remembering their legacies. Just as I remembered that girl by holding on to that shirt. And every time I wore that shirt until my mom washed it and I was incredibly angry with her. But every time I wore that shirt up until that point, I remembered that dance and I remembered that girl and I remember my experience. When we have these objects, we remember the holy men and women of God. We remember their extraordinary lives of holiness and how they serve the Creator of the universe and how that's an example for us to do the exact same thing. If you are inspired and you are fed, please consider, we humbly pray, helping us in return. Maybe giving $10 a month, $25 a month, or $50 a month. Or if God has really blessed you, $100 or $200 a month or more, perhaps, because we want to reach millions of souls for Christ. We want to be a light in this dark world. We want to be a voice of clarity in this age of confusion. And we want to save souls and change lives for Christ. And we can't do that without you. Again, if you need a retreat speaker in person or online, check out our website at thecatholictruth.org. And also check out our Facebook. Follow us on Facebook below and Instagram below. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you for nourishing your faith. Thank you for being inspired and learning your faith. Now, please go share this with others and help them to know the truth that sets them free. God bless you.